Welcome to MedEvidence, where we help you navigate the truth behind medical research with unbiased, evidence-proven facts, powered by Encore Research Group and hosted by cardiologist and top medical researcher, Dr. Michael Corrin.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Corrin.
And I'm Dr. Gary Kate.
And Gary and I have been having a fascinating discussion about orthopedics and research and some of the things that you do day to day in terms of innovating in the OR, treating professional athletes. And then we ended our last discussion about running clinical trials and how we thought that things like using, quote, performance-enhancing drugs could be best done in a research setting. We certainly don't advocate it in a non-research setting. But if you do it in a research setting, maybe we would discover things that would actually help people. We can learn how to have people can heal faster from injuries, for example, and do it within studies rather than more anecdotally. Mm-hmm. And that got into a discussion about a very famous experiment called the Lady Tasting Tea experiment. And I married that concept with a conversation that you and I had. So when I invited you to the podcast, you mentioned that you're familiar with the fact that in certain podcasts, the host will treat the guest to some really good scotch. Yeah. You mentioned that. So it got me thinking, okay, well, there's no reason why we can't enjoy scotch during our podcast. It also got me thinking about this experiment. So just to remind our listeners about it, is that this famous experiment was conducted under the authority of somebody named Ronald Fisher, who is a very familiar name to people like me in clinical research, but probably not familiar to most people. But Ronald Fisher was the person responsible for modern medical statistics, and he created sort of the theoretical underpinnings of what we do today in statistics, most notably creation of a null hypothesis, and then either accepting or rejecting the null hypothesis based on the data. And all the medical studies that we do use this concept. And the concept started from an experiment called the Lady Tasting Tea experiment. And this was from somebody that was working at the university with him who claimed that when preparing tea for your, you know, afternoon tea, which was common in Britain, she can tell if they put the milk in first or put the tea in first. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of skepticism about that. How can you tell once it's mixed up? But she claimed that she could. So Ronald Fisher, Dr. Fisher, created this experiment where in four examples, he put the milk in first and then added the tea. In the other four examples, he put the tea in first and then added the milk. And he then created the statistics to determine whether or not she, in fact, had this ability. And he determined through statistics that in order for her to truly have this ability, we'd have to reject the null hypothesis that she couldn't do it based on getting it right four out of four times. In fact, in her case, she got it right eight out of eight times. Mm-hmm. But in order for her to reject the null hypothesis, she had to get it right four out of four times, which she did. And so this was the beginnings of modern statistics, where you have a p-value, and based on that p-value, you either reject or accept the null hypothesis. So with that in mind, we're going to do the ortho sipping scotch study. And you claim that you can tell if we put the ice cube in first and added scotch, or put the scotch in first and then added the ice cube.
Did I claim that?
I think you did.
I did?
Of course, we were drunk at the time. So, but I think that's what I heard. And so our producer was kind enough to provide the investigational product for this study. It's a very fine scotch.
Oh, yeah. It might take me a while to test this.
Yes, and there you go.
Yes.
And then we
might take several trials.
We have a local brand, the St. Augustine Distillery. Mm-hmm. They paid no promotional fee for this. This is just happened to be in somebody's cabinet. And then a good old Johnny Walker Black Label. Again, no promotional fees for these. We'll get to that eventually, but we're not for this particular podcast. So in any event, so those are the possible products. So we have this done in the way a clinical trial would be set up, where somebody has been kind enough to create a little card that talks about all the samples. And then all those samples will correspond to a log that only one person knows. I'm blinded to it. You're blinded to it. We don't know.
Yes.
I'm just making the observations.
Yes.
And recording them, writing them down. Actually asking somebody to write them down for me, because that's what I usually do. Mm-hmm. And then you're the one that's going to be the test subject to decide. Okay?
So I'm the test subject, not the guinea pig.
No, we don't use that term. The guinea pigs have objected to it, actually. All right. So you can pick any sample. So by the way, there's a term here called randomization. Mm-hmm. So this was randomly decided. I don't know how this was decided in terms of the ice cube first or the scotch first, mm-hmm. and it can be any given order. But we're going to give you the opportunity to test any sample. And then you tell us if you think it was the ice cube or the scotch that was placed into the cup first.
Okay. Well, I am the grateful test subject.
Okay. Here we go.
Unsure still. I think I need a second tasting.
Okay, please. Take your time. There's no rush here.
And undoubtedly, it was the scotch first.
Scotch first. Sample one, scotch first. Okay, no clues.
You know
no
why
clues.
I said that? I said it because the ice was still well formed there. Okay. So I thought it didn't have that much time to melt.
Well, you can see that we need some work on our technique here,
right?
Because the producer has already given up the blind by making a face at us. So the blind has been broken. So we're gonna have to do this whole thing and start from scratch.
That's right.
But the point of this, of course, is just give the audience a sense for how medical statistics were developed in the first place with an experiment similar to this.
Right.
The other thing is that medical research has progressed.
And you're saying research can be fun.
Yes, it absolutely can be fun. 100% can be fun. Okay. And things that you may not have thought about testing can, in fact, be tested. So that's the other part of it. But I will also say that one of the very important rules about research is that you have to be self-critical. So in every publication, you always have to list the limitations, because the thought is that you, as the expert, know more about the weaknesses of a study than anybody else. So we have an ethical obligation to disclose the weaknesses of a study. So in this case, there are a few very overt weaknesses, unfortunately. Number one, I forgot to get informed consent from you. So we'll not be able to publish these results. That's number one.
Right.
Number two is that we only have 6 cups here. And we know from the Fisherian experiment that you need at least 8 cups to do a legitimate experiment. And that's something called a power calculation. You have to know how many samples or how many patients or how many things you're going to look at in order to get the result, to get a reasonable result. And if you do a study that's underpowered like this study, it's actually unethical. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, it doesn't cut it from that standpoint. And then, of course, our blinded investigator needs to wear a mask or something so that she doesn't laugh when we get it wrong.
Right, right. All those errors, and I'm still not unhappy with the study.
Okay, well, there you go. So unfortunately, we won't be able to publish the results, but I think we illustrated some important principles for the audience. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of a whimsical idea, but you and I have actually worked on something that was really important that made a difference. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to tell people about the beginnings of the KineticCure work that we did together probably about 15 years ago that resulted in a very successful clinical trial.
Yep. In orthopedics, one of the more common conditions that we encounter and treat is arthritis. I do upper extremity procedures, but of course we are able to do research, has to do anywhere in the body or physiology applies to anything that we can understand. And this was a knee problem, and we were approached with a potential treatment for knee arthritis that was non-invasive. It involved placing a vibratory device on the knee that included heat application and included what's called continuous passive motion, motion to the knee. And
vibration, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's 3 modalities.
I didn't mention that. I thought I had. Mm-hmm. So, we were able to be involved and construct a study to compare people with the true device versus people with a sham device, mm-hmm. and recorded results that included pain scales, also included range of motion, and was able to validate the efficacy of this for that term where the device was studied, which was 4-week periods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a beautiful study. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. I'll give you some credit. The sponsor of the study came to you because initially they went to some very high profile medical centers who were not really able to enroll in the study. And they came to you, and then you and I had a little conversation, and we made a few suggestions to change the protocol. And within about 9 months, I think we had about 70 patients in the study, mm-hmm. and we're able to prove that combining heat, vibration, and motion was better than any individual modality. And this was a huge commercial success for the company. They were able then, in turn, to sell that product to somebody else for a hefty amount. So again, we didn't get that money, just to be clear. We were the independent testers, but it just shows you that the implications of good research can be very valuable for a lot of sponsors.
And that it can occur in the private practice setting.
Absolutely. And in fact, we enhanced the private practice setting, and we wrote the article that was ultimately published in a very good orthopedic journal, as I recall, or as a rheumatology journal. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a really fun time. We did a lot of good. We helped a lot of patients, and the sponsor was very pleased with the results.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's my recollection. I don't think it's as fun as this study in front of us, but I think it was very successful.
Well, of course, now our challenge is we're going to have to go out to one of these sponsors and see if they want to fund this study.
Right.
Now they know the possibilities.
Right. And you said at least eight. We need to have at least eight tests.
Well, maybe more. Well, Gary, this has been a delight. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your experience, and thank you for the audience for listening to another episode of MedEvidence.
Well, it's my pleasure, privilege, and looking forward to coming back.
Thanks for joining the MedEvidence podcast. To learn more, head over to MedEvidence.com or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform.